calling on her phone. I've got no time to be alone. Summer coming at me all the time. You better think I lose my mind. Cause I'm stranded on my own. Stranded far from home. Alright.
Right, here we are on CITR Radio. That's right. It's Friday night. You're listening to Vancouver live on the dial. Or you could be around midday, I think, in Sydney, Australia. This is the Australian-Canadian Music Show, especially for the listeners out there with discerning tastes who like to hear some music that you would not otherwise hear, definitely on commercial networks and the Australian music. If you're here in Canada, you'd probably have to search far and wide for this. Although that said, the artist I'm going to feature first up is one of the truly great singer-songwriters of the post-punk era, and a member of a band that a lot of people, I imagine, would know of, at least have heard the name, if not dug deep into their catalogue. The band I'm talking about is the Go-Betweens. And their singer, Grant McLennan. I wanted to feature Grant McLennan today because he passed away 7 years ago, just this past week. Very sad, quite tragic. He was very young. He wasn't yet 50. I think he was age 48. And he just died suddenly of a heart attack. I don't think anyone saw it coming. And he was a really wonderful lyricist and part of one of the great songwriting partnerships, Grant McLennan and Robert Foster of the Go-Betweens, who were an amazing band that formed in Brisbane, Australia in 1977. And their main period of operation was 77 to 89. So I wanted to just play some of the Grant McLennan tracks from the Go-Betweens era, and a few of his solo works as well. I have one of his solo records here that I brought from home. Let's see, the record is called Watershed, a really lovely tune. So I wanted to feature some tracks from Grant McLennan to pay respect. It's 7 years since his passing. And also on the show is a really fabulous interview I recorded with a gentleman named Tizzer. He is an Australian a man who was travelling, and I met him completely randomly in Vancouver at a First Nations musical concert, and he wandered in and off the street, and it turns out he was a big fan of Aboriginal music because he had been associated in Australia with the great Jimmy Little, who was an absolute icon of Aboriginal music in Australia. So Tizza is a musician himself, and he worked for Jimmy Little. And he had a fascinating story to tell. I recorded quite an extensive interview with Tizza. The very next day, we had some sushi at a sushi restaurant up on Main Street. And I sat him down with the voice recorder, and you're going to hear his story today. So that's coming up. And also, we have the last Apollo Ghost show ever is tonight in Vancouver at the Rickshaw. So we're going to play some Apollo Ghost towards the end as well. This is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. So as I mentioned, up first, we're going to hear some tracks from the Go-Betweens, some tracks featuring the songwriting of Grant McLennan specifically and his vocals. So let's start off with the album Liberty Bell and the Black Diamond Express. Let's hear the track called In the Core of the Flame. Then you'll hear a track from Tallulah, and also the classic 16 Lovers Lane record. Here's the Go-Betweens featuring the late Grant McLennan.
We'll be right back. I think about you. There are times that I'm Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the West End at
212 Productions Limited, The Baker and the Chef, Bang on T-shirts, Bistrude Records, Dream Apparel and Articles for People, Dunleavy Snack Bar, The Fall Tattoon, Fortune Sound Club, Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinema Think, Perch, Project Space, Scratch Records, Vinyl Records, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
Welcome back to the show. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show on CITR Radio, 101.9 FM locally in Vancouver, or citr.ca on the internet. We have a blog at ozstrandedradio.com with lots of set lists and podcasts for shows present and past. We're up to podcast 150, all up there on the blog, and lots of great music reviews too. CD reviews written by contributor Maya Abbey, who is a native of Edmonton, Alberta. Okay, so a little feature here on Grant McLennan, one of the truly great singer-songwriters, a member of the Go-Betweens in that great songwriting partnership with Robert Forster. A lot of people really put them in the same category as Lennon and McCartney. It's a big call, but if you really listen to the Go-Betweens' music, you really get all their albums out, and, I mean, it's just extraordinary songwriting. The Go-Betweens formed in 1979. Grant McLennan was doing a Bachelor of Arts at the University of Queensland, and he met Robert Forster in that period. They got together, formed the band, and they went on to become one of the great Australian post-punk bands with very, very lauded albums, including the three albums you just heard. I played a track from each. This string of albums is a dead set classics. You heard the Liberty Bell and the Black Diamond Express. I played for you the song In the Core of the Flame. Next up, we heard the Tallulah record, the song called The House That Jack Kerouac Built. And finally, 16 Lovers Lane. We heard that final album. We're going to get back into some music now, which is actually Grant McLennan's solo period. So let's get into an album called Watershed that I discovered. I actually bought this secondhand at Zulu Records in Vancouver. I was really quite happy to discover this. It's a solo record that came out in 1991. I'm going to play for you a couple of tracks from this so you can learn more about Grant McLennan. And he, of course, he passed away 7 years ago just this week. He died of a heart attack at age 48. He died at his home in Brisbane. He was just preparing for a party at his home to celebrate with his fiancée. And he just said he felt unwell and lay down and died. Heart attack at age 48. It's quite tragic to think how many amazing songs he would have had ahead of him. He was fond of collaborating too, and I'm going to play for you after these two solo tracks, a collaboration he did with Steve Kilby of The Church, a project called, Jack Frost, that's right. So I'm going to play for you a Jack Frost song as well. So here it is. This is Grant McLennan from the 1991 record Watershed.
But neighing of the horses in the moonlight woke him up. There was a line of ice across his cup. Except for the wind and the corn, the world was perfectly still. The moon hung over the windowsill. Ride on, black mule. Ride on, black mule. Just then four men on horses came riding up. They dragged him out into the clearing. They said, listen here, mister, if you don't give us all your gold, we're gonna give you a hell of a beating. Just then a nun on a black mule came riding by. She said, oh gentlemen, what are you doing? If you don't leave that man ride alone, I'm gonna punish you for evil doing. Ride on, black mule. You know, bad men, they never listen. They went up in a puff of brimstone. She cut him down, she led him by the hand to a cave, took him into a world of limestone. Ride on, black mule. Ride on. His wounds, she put salt upon his back. She read to him from a great big book. When he was healed, she led him by the hand again, said, go into the world and take a look. Ride on, black mule. Ride on, black mule. Walking down a Beirut street when a car bomb blew him up. Oh, life can be cruel. When they took him to the mortuary to identify his fingerprints, all they found were the hoofprints of a mule. Ride on, black mule. Ride on, black mule.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Well, I saw you at the opening. Somebody's hand was up your dress. You were showing off everything except your finesse. Thought that I
that I was over you. Thought that I was over you. In a shack one night in Brisbane, said that I just missed my flight. Playing cards, raining hard, holding on with all my might. Thought that I was over you.
Media, the Georgia Strait, and CITR 101.9 present the Main Street Vinyl Record Fair, Saturday, May 18th and Sunday, May 19th at the Cambrian Hall in Vancouver. Now 2 days featuring a different group of vendors each day. Thousands of vinyl records, personal collections up for sale, plus a selection of vintage turntables and gear. Featuring music by the Knights of the Turntable and food truck goodness from our friends at Dougie Dog Hot Dogs. The Main Street Vinyl Record Fair. Get your Vancouver vinyl discount card free with admission. That's 10% off at Zoo Shop, Red Cat Records, Zulu Records, High Life World Music, Scrape Records, Dandelion Records, Neptune Records, Vinyl Records, The Beat Merchant, and Beat Street Records. And introducing the Main Street Meal Ticket, also free with admission. Eat out on Main Street at Cray, Mr. Brownstone, The Reef, or Rocky Mountain Flatbread, and let the fair help you with the bill. The Main Street Vinyl Record Fair, Saturday, May 18th and Sunday, May 19th at the Cambrian Hall, 215 East 17th in Vancouver. Now 2 days featuring a different group of vendors each day. Visit www.vinylrecordfair.com or find us on Facebook for more information. The Main Street Vinyl Record Fair, brought to you by Bad Bird Media, the Georgia Strait, and CITR.
Thanks for tuning in. This is Strand of the Australian Canadian Music Show. The wonderful sounds there of Grant McLennan, vocalist and one of the primary songwriters from the Go-Betweens, who were one of Australia's really fundamentally significant bands, who were around between 79 and 89 initially. And then they had a reformation period for a time as well, 2000 to 2006. If you're new to learning about Australian music, the Go-Betweens are absolutely indispensable to research. Grant McLennan and Robert Forster, amazing songwriting partnership, which ended tragically when Grant McLennan passed away on the 6th of May 2006. He was only 48 years old, and he died of a heart attack at his home in Brisbane, Queensland. And the last two tracks there were solo projects from Grant McLennan. First up was the 1991 record Watershed. I played for you Easy Come, Easy Go, which is a single from the record. And then track 6, Black Mule, which is a wonderful song, a great story, and I think a real centerpiece for this record. And the final song there, you might have heard that that other voice there was a voice probably familiar to regular listeners of the show, Steve Kilby, of course, of The Church. And he collaborated with Grant McLennan for a project called Jack Frost. So you heard that Jack Frost track there, Thought That I Was Over You. So that's just a brief retrospective on the works of Grant McLennan. Many, many other wonderful songs by that man are out there in existence, so I recommend you check them out if you're so inclined. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. Always enjoy playing this music for you, broadcasting these songs. And later on the show, we are going to be featuring Vancouver's great indie bands, who are sadly saying farewell tonight. They are playing at the Rickshaw, their final ever show. But you never know, you know, how often do bands say that and they get back together? I dare say there'll be a packed room full of very appreciative listeners who may encourage them to keep going or come back in some form. Who knows? We're going to play some Apollo Ghost towards the end of the show, and we might even have a giveaway of one of their albums. So stay tuned and stick to your social media. But before then, up next, I have a really fascinating interview with a gentleman named Tizza, who is an Australian musician and traveller, who I met really randomly in Vancouver, and he had a fascinating story to tell about his connection to Jimmy Little, who is probably the most renowned Australian Aboriginal musical figure, who also passed away recently. So I'm going to play for you quite an extensive interview I recorded with Tizza, and also features some Jimmy Little music, and also a group of musicians who Tizza is championing, a group of musicians from Australia called East Journey, an Aboriginal musical group. So that's coming up in the next part of the show. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be right back.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. Catch us online at ozstrandedradio.com. There's a link there for you to subscribe to the podcast. And we're also on Twitter at ozstrandedradio. Okay, so now here's a very interesting interview. Tizza is a gentleman who I ran into randomly down on Hastings Street in Vancouver. He popped into the Interurban Gallery where I was attending the Red Jam Slam event, which was a First Nations musical performance showcase, which was hosted by Gunaji O'Sullivan. She is a broadcaster here in the city at Co-op Radio. So Tizza walked in off the street, and I can't even remember how I started talking to this guy, and I heard this Australian accent, and I was, oh, interesting, and asked him his story, and he said he was visiting. He had lived in Vancouver previously, many years ago, and he was over visiting friends. And it turns out he walked into the right room because he is very connected to the Aboriginal music community in Australia. He actually had the opportunity to work alongside Jimmy Little. Now, Jimmy Little is an absolute giant of Australian music. He is an Aboriginal performer who had a very, very lengthy career. He's highly regarded and a wonderful voice and a very wonderful human being, too, from all accounts. And Tizza will explain exactly, you know, how fortunate Australia was to have such a generous entertainer in their ranks for quite some time, who did a lot beyond just performing for people. He ran his own non-profit relating to Aboriginal health. So Tizza had the very good fortune to work alongside him, and we're going to hear all about that, and we're going to play some tunes from Jimmy Little. So first up, let's hear Tizza just introducing himself and talking about his connection to Vancouver. It's a little bit of background noise here. We recorded this interview at a sushi restaurant on Main Street earlier this year. So here we go. This is a gentleman named Tizza, an Australian musician and traveller. Okay, so we're here with Tizza at a sushi restaurant in Vancouver, BC on Main Street. Tizza, it was extraordinary to meet you through quite a fluke chance the other night when you popped into a show of First Nations musicians here in the city. First up, would you like to describe your background with Vancouver? We were just talking off air about Vancouver.
Right, right.
How did you come to be here?
Gosh, well, I guess I did what most people do, or most people did back in the late 80s, which was go to London and go travelling around Europe, you know, backpacking around. And I kept meeting, you know, you're meeting folks from all around the world when you're travelling. I kept meeting people from Canada and just sort of having this great affinity and friendship, forming these great friendships. And two or three different people gave me their addresses here and said, you know, if you're ever in Vancouver, come and stay. So I moved to California from London and bought a 72 Volkswagen Combi, and my sister and I drove the coast all the way up Pacific Coast Highway up here to Vancouver, and got here and met up with these people who had given me their addresses, and just everything opened up. It was just gold, you know, just wonderful, friendly people, very giving. Here's my car, you know, here's my boat, here's, come and stay in my house, you know. It was a great place to come to, and that's where it all started.
Wow. And can you describe much like of your memories of that time? I know it wasn't a musical time for you, but did you see any music when you were here, or like in the 80s in Vancouver? Or
yeah, I did. I mean, it was pretty jumping back in those days here. I guess the Seattle Sound thing was taking off, you know, like Nirvana and, you know, the Screaming Trees and bands like that were all taking off around there. That it was a very fervent era. There was some great places here down in Gastown. There was a place called the Town Pump, which was a very famous joint, and all sorts of amazing bands would play there. In fact, I saw the Painters and Dockers from Melbourne.
Oh, wow.
Play there back in those days, which was pretty... It was actually a very drunk and crazy affair. They were a pretty crazy band. Mm. So, you know, lots of the... It was interesting. You'd keep your eyes out, obviously, when I was living here, for the Aussie bands coming over. Mm. And then drag all your Vancouver friends down there. And you've got to see these guys. They're from home. And, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So it was great. And, of course, the Commodore Ballroom, which is still a functioning gig, was a great place to go to as well. And then the bigger bands at the Orpheum, Crowded House at the Orpheum, and then, of course, all the wonderful Canadian acts as well, you know, the Tragically Hip, you know, when they would come across and play, and the Bare Naked Ladies, Katie Lang and the Reclines, you know, there was all sorts of fantastic stuff going on in that day.
And then you returned to Sydney. Musically, what can you tell us about yourself? So you are a drummer?
Yep, these days I'm playing drums more than anything. I played in bands when I was younger, playing rhythm guitar and singing, lead vocals. But these days, yeah, I'm actually playing in a very fun ukulele band at the moment, which is the Freshwater Ukulele Recital Society, which, if you shorten that, becomes the Fookers. We're having a grand old time. And I'm actually, one of the favourite things in that, I play washboard, which has been one of my lifelong dreams, to play the washboard ever since going to New Orleans and seeing this old black guy there one day, you know, playing the washboard. And Yeah.
How about the Lagerphone? Is that
the no? We don't really have a Lagerphone. It's a bit more Aussie bush band, I think.
Yeah. So you lived here for a few years in that period, went back to Sydney, and dived back into music.
Yeah, I did. I got approached by a friend of mine to put a band together for a 30th birthday party, which we did, and then that sort of got me back into playing. And then that led me on to touring again. A young band called Raw Sugar that some friends of mine were in were signed at that point to Festival Records. And so we started touring with those guys around the east coast of Australia. And it kind of got me back into the management side of things, where I met up with a guy called Buzz Bidstrup, who was a drummer in the Angels and Ganga Jang, and he had recently got the gig to manage Jimmy Little. And so I became involved working with Jimmy Little back in those days, helping out with a bit of tour management stuff, and then also doing some building work for him at his house to build a home studio. And what it did lead to, however, was unfortunately Jimmy had renal failure. His kidneys went, which is a really big deal amongst the Aboriginal people at home, as it is with the Aboriginal people here in Canada as well. In Australia, it's something like 30 times more prevalent in Indigenous people than it is in European people. And so, yeah, his kidneys went, and through that process, that really limited and restricted his ability to go on the road and tour. So he put together a foundation to try and educate young Aboriginal people, and also do whatever we could do to try and prevent this illness happening.
So Jimmy, I've actually seen stuff on YouTube of him. Yeah, he was quite articulate and vocal around Aboriginal health issues.
Absolutely.
Do you have any, can you fill us in about what it was like to know him as a person? Any insights into the man himself?
Absolutely. I guess firstly by saying that my life was so blessed by coming into his life, He was a very middle of the road kind of guy, he was never one for sort of raising his fist and protesting and carrying on about things. He just got about his life. He always talked about being an Australian. He was a proud Aboriginal man, but he was an Australian, and he was very much for equality in that respect, by going down the middle of the road, not by stomping his foot and not by carrying on about things. He was he just did things in a very natural way. Just coming back to my family and my upbringing, we're all sort of working class from Glebe in Sydney. I had a lot of aunts and uncles. Once I did meet Jimmy and his family, and the extended family, I found all these similarities between my, Christmases as a small child with the big extended family, and now with this Aboriginal family. There was a lot of things there that were very similar. I felt very comfortable in it. I was always made to feel very welcomed and trusted, which was a wonderful thing. I guess growing up in Sydney too, in the general populace, I didn't really... We really had no education about Aboriginal people or Aboriginal ways, so for me, it was a crash course in Aboriginal education, I suppose, and something of which, I would never claim to be an expert on. I know very little about it, and every day I hopefully learn a bit more about it.
Okay, there's a track there from Jimmy Little called Baby Blue. Jimmy Little is a very well-regarded Australian Aboriginal singer-songwriter, performer, who passed away recently. And we're speaking with Tizza, who is an Australian who worked closely with Jimmy Little. Let's get back into part two of the interview.
And have you travelled much in Australia to other Aboriginal communities outside of Sydney? Or
yes,
yeah,
yeah. We did. We put together a thing called Uncle Jimmy Thumbs Up, and we would go out to basically Thumbs Up for Healthy Tucker was the whole idea of it. And we would go out to remote Aboriginal communities and do healthy food workshops, and we'd go out there with. Aboriginal musicians, Shelley Morris was the good friend of mine now, and a great gal to work with, amazing with the children. And we'd write songs with the kids about healthy food, healthy lifestyle, eating whatever food was from that area, trying to get away from eating, you know, processed foods, white flour, white sugar, all the stuff that sort of leads to that renal failure. We'd encourage the kids to write stuff in their language, you know, to give them more sort of power. And then we would record it, put it together, write a video, shoot the video, cut it all up, squash it all, put it into Bluetoothable format and give them to them so the kids could bounce it around on their telephones and also upload it to YouTube and stuff like that, just to kind of keep the kids interested in it, and then they could sing the song to each other, and just something else to keep that awareness about the healthy food and healthy lifestyles, but also to empower those kids to then go, hey, I learnt how to do this, and then give them the skills and technique to do it themselves.
Yeah. It wasn't just preaching a message that can go over there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was very Jimmy. That was what he was all about. You know, it was all about, you know, what's the saying? Give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, teach him how to fish, he'll eat forever. And that was very much what all that stuff was about.
And we were talking offline before about prominent people that not all of them have to become a tabloid kind of figure, and he's right. As you say, he's someone who lived a balanced life, and he just presented himself as composed and was clearly a good role model. It's that comes across.
Absolutely. I mean, here's the interesting thing is that, you know, blackfella politic, and I don't know how this goes here in Canada, I assume it's kind of similar, but blackfella politic is very strong in Australia, you know, and there's so many nations within our nation of different peoples, and there's a lot of prejudice and there's a lot of stuff going on between, you know, Aboriginal to Aboriginal. For instance, you know, say a famous, you know, Aboriginal person at home in the media, say it's like Ernie Dingo, right? You know, someone, so he's from the West, and someone from over here would go, I don't trust him. You know, another Aboriginal fellow. Don't. Why? Because he's from over that mob. You know, like weird. Yeah, and you go, really? But you're all the same mob. No, we're not the same mob. Yeah. We're all different mobs, right? But Jimmy had this amazing ability to cut through the middle of all of that stuff. And when I went out there as his representative, I'd obviously have, you know, Jimmy Little Foundation stickers on me, so, you know, so Aboriginal folks would see that. And it was a golden passport. I was pretty much allowed to go into anywhere. It just gave me permission. I would still, of course, be respectful and ask permission before I went on to tribal lands, but it was, for me, it was, I would have to pinch myself sometimes and go, I'm just a little white fella from Sydney, how is it possible that I'm granted access to all this stuff? You know, it was incredible.
Yeah. Oh, it's such an amazing experience. And this was up to the kind of the recent past? Because he only passed away last year. Were you working closely with him?
Passed last year. I was very lucky once again. He moved back up to Dubbo in central New South Wales, probably a 5 or 6 hour drive from Sydney. And just to fill you in on another thing, I rode a motorcycle solo around Australia as an awareness and fundraiser for the foundation back in 2007. So I went up to see him, and I didn't, of course, realise at the time he was going to pass, but I rode up there on the motorcycle. I was selling the bike, and so I thought, well, for its last run, I'm going to go up and see Uncle Jim, you know. Whoa. So I went up there and spent a beautiful weekend with him, and that was about a month before he passed. And then he and his daughter were down in Sydney 2 weeks after that, and my mum and I went out with those guys, and we went to the theatre and saw a show together. But he was kind of happy, you know. He was in a good space. It was actually a bit of a surprise that he did go, because he was actually looking pretty good, you know, and getting ready to do the next thing, you know, move on to the next thing. He was talking about doing another album and getting on. So, but he was very lucky in that he went in his sleep. Wouldn't that be nice?
That's right, yeah. And leaves a wonderful legacy. Are there any songs particular that you would recommend? Or, you know, I mean, he was around for such a long time, and myself, I'm not overly familiar with his catalogue.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it goes way back. You know, he came up to Sydney when he was 18 years old, I think, or 17 or 18 years old, and with the desire to record songs and be a star. A lot of his early stuff was kind of like crooning, you know, like country crooning. He was a balladeer. He's a very velvet voice, beautiful voice, absolutely beautiful voice, and a great great old school craftsman of music, you know. He would take a song and he would really make it his own, you know. He had a big hit called The Royal Telephone in Australia, which was, I believe it was an American pen song that was the record company got him to do, I think. And that, I guess, was his most famous. And then a wonderful guy called Brendan Gallagher, who was in a band called Karma County, went to see Jim at the Balmain RSL Club, the Return Services League Club at the Legion Hall here in Canada. And there was Jim, you know, performing in this thing, and Brendan was just blown away, you know, and Brendan was a record producer as well as an artist and singer-songwriter. And he went and approached him and introduced himself and said, "I've got an idea, you know, can we record this album? Would you like to work with me?" And Jim, of course, said, "Yeah, that'd be great." And that album became Messenger, which was in 1999, and that then took off to the top of the charts. Songs by The Church, we were talking about before, and Neil Finn and Paul Kelly, and a wonderful, wonderful album with wonderful, great interpretations of songs on it. Therefore, opening up this old man into a whole new young clientele, which is fantastic.
It's kind of a little bit like the Johnny Cash phenomenon, like the last couple of albums with the
Nine Inch Nails and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because I knew about Jimmy Little through that album that was played on Triple J Radio.
That's right.
The Youth Network.
The Youth Network. Yeah, that's right.
Glory, oh what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Made by God the Father for his very own. You may talk to Jesus on this royal telephone. Central's never busy, always on the line. You can hear from heaven almost any time. 'Tis a royal service built for one and all. When you get in trouble, give this royal line a call. Telephone to glory, oh what joy divine. I can feel the current moving on the line. Made by God the Father for his very own. You may talk to Jesus on this royal telephone. Be no charges, telephone is free. It is built for service, just for you and me. There will be no waiting on this royal line. Telephone to glory always answers just in time. Telephone to glory, oh what joy divine.
may talk to Jesus on this royal telephone. Jesus on this royal
know, there's nothing sexier than voting on a hot summer day. Be sure to vote in the 40th Provincial General Election, Tuesday, May 14th. For more information, go to elections.bc.ca.
First I say no, I got some plans for tonight, and then I stop and say,
you're tuned into CITR Radio. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show, and an extra special interview today. You are hearing the music of Jimmy Little. Jimmy Little is a very renowned Australian Aboriginal performer who is no longer with us. He passed away a couple of years ago, and Tizza is speaking with us. He is an Australian musician and traveller who I met here in Vancouver. He had a history living in Vancouver previously, and interestingly, a history working with Jimmy Little in Australia. So you heard a couple of Jimmy Little tracks there, his classic single that got him noticed, The Royal Telephone. And then you had, this is a perfect tie-in for the start of the show. The start of the show, we featured Grant McLennan and the Go-Betweens. Well, one of the great Go-Betweens songs was Cattle and Cane. And you heard there a cover that Jimmy Little did for a record called The Messenger, and the cover of the song Cattle and Cane by the Go-Betweens. So there you go. Wonderful tie into the start of the show. So let's get back into this extended interview with Tizza, Australian musician, talking about his project now championing the band East Journey. They are from Australia. They are an Aboriginal group. Wonderful music. We're going to play some East Journey tracks, and let's get back into this chat with Tizza.
I wonder if you could comment going back to Vancouver, and we were talking before about comparisons with, like the struggles now around ownership of property that leads to venues disappearing and things like that, and the struggles with
live music. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a really interesting thing too. And the closing up of so many music venues, you know. I was in Seattle last week. This is interesting. So I was in Seattle last week, and the music thing is really alive and kicking. Now, I mean, the States is kind of where litigation sort of all came from, and where at the moment I feel in Australia and in Canada as well, that we're kind of ruled by the insurance companies, I guess, and the lawyers saying, we won't give you public liability insurance unless you do X, Y, and Z. Now, that might mean that if you had a 1,000-person venue before, they'll say, well, if there's a fire, then we could get sued, so we're going to close that down. And that happens time and time and time again. Kind of interesting, the States is still sort of forging ahead and having these so-called dangerous venues, which aren't. They're fantastic. They're healthy, and they've got healthy musicians. It's a great place for all this to happen. It is interesting that it's been squashed in places like Vancouver and Sydney as well. You know, I think back to when I was a young guy playing music, there must have been something like, I don't know, 120 venues between, say, the city and Palm Beach, which was a 40-kilometre stretch where I lived, and now there's about 3.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. So they've either been, I mean, there's bunches of reasons why they've been swallowed up, but it's kind of the downfall of us, I think, because it's getting away from community. You know, the wonderful thing about most Indigenous communities that I've visited is that community is everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about family, it's all about community, it's all about keeping it together within each other and supporting each other.
Absolutely. And I mean, we're seeing here things reaching breaking point, I think. I mean, I think it's going to be a return to community somehow, because what's working isn't working.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
I'm curious just to see what happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how much longer we can sustain the way that we're going, but I don't know, maybe we will. Maybe we'll find out ways of getting around it and, you know, join in.
And we're always going to need music. Music will not die. And, you know, everything's fragmented so much these days, but we still need people to play music live. That basic human need will never disappear.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it happens here in this city behind closed doors and in living rooms now and things like that.
That's right. Well, yeah, I guess it's moving to YouTube. But it's still, you know, music and entertainment, theatre, you know, it's always been that's the voice of change. You know, if you go back to the days of, you know, Shakespearean days, you know, that's how social issues and whatnot got dealt with, brought up with in conversation, and then somehow changed, you know. And music has always been like that, you know. Rock and roll has always been a bit rebellious. I mean, you look back at the early days of, say, Midnight Oil, you know, Beds Are Burning, you know, like great stuff that gets people, maybe even redneck folk, you know, to think, maybe there is a bit more, you know, maybe I should open my mind up a little bit and see what that's all about, you know. It's I suppose it'll morph and move along. I just hope there's a little bit more chances for Indigenous music to move, you know, back into the mainstream, and helping the rest of us, you know, make better decisions and creating a better world
and inform policy. You know, and I think technology is the best chance we've had yet of, you know, use the best part of the modern world to bring back the best of the old world in a way.
Well, you know, here's an interesting thing: when we travel out there to remote Aboriginal community, you know, one of our things was to get these videos that we made, you know, squashed down into Bluetoothable, because all the kids have got phones. You know, they've embraced that side of the technology, which is interesting. And a lot of these people are still hunting. You know, they're still making spears and hunting.
Wow.
So, you know, it's kind of, it's just reminded me of, I was in Sri Lanka last year traveling, and I met a wonderful Buddhist monk, and and he had nothing on him except his robes and, of course, his mobile phone. You know, and there it is.
Yeah.
And on that point, you know, with the Facebook thing, you know, I'm sort of reluctantly on Facebook, you know, these days, like we all are. But I've noticed that the most prevalent users of Facebook amongst all my friends are actually my Aboriginal friends.
Wow.
They're on it all the time. They've really embraced that technology. And I guess to them it's a message stick, you know. It's a way of getting on. There's a funny Aboriginal folk at home, as I'm sure they are here, a great sense of humour. And when the mobile phones came out, they got called, or got nicknamed, the Telling Bone.
That's classic.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, with that Facebook thing, it's you know, it's quite amazing.
Up in the Milky Way, star shining bright, up in the dark sky. As stories been told, that ancestral bird, Kwalkoleekowat, black as the night. Go I cried through the lonely sky, lonely sky, from Gomorrakela. Oh, Moramjo, where journey begin for the one last time. The sound of the cry, but it's heard as it flies. Por cornuario rona, oh gadanara, warka warka nguru, maragonya marwere. Borokonya le ale, bondoro andar pa inawa. Where is borokonam gawe? Back to the river of stars, to my spiritual land. The journey of alcohol kwa. Sending message through, call falling through the cold night. Where is my promised land? The journey of alcoholism, sending mercy through, calling through the cold night. Where is my promised land? By the sound of the cry, we'll reach the destination, and the echoes will be heard by spirit of man. And I believe the answer is to rejoin her in a cycle of life, get there in spiritual land. The journey of our holy, sending message through, calling through the cold night. Where is my promised land?
This week on the Arts Report, film, theater, dance, books, visual art, and more. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Arts Reporters explore what's fun, fascinating, campy, or critical in the Vancouver art scene. You can find bonus content on our Mixcloud, Facebook, and Twitter. Got an idea for a review, interview, or original production? Email arts@citr.ca. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or anytime on citr.ca.
Welcome back to CITR. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show. So that wraps up my interview there with Tizza, a really fascinating gentleman who I met here in Vancouver, an Australian musician and traveller. And he spoke about his connection with Jimmy Little, the great Australian Aboriginal performer, and also his current work with promoting the music of East Journey. You just heard a track there by East Journey from the record Guwak, G-U-W-A-K. Part of the great new wave of Australian Aboriginal music, and let's hope that they can maybe do some international touring. Wouldn't it be great to have them here? I'm going to play for you some more East Journey at a later time, and actually I do have one final part of that interview. I didn't quite have a chance to air today, so that'll be in another show too. Okay, so we're getting close to the end. Time now for some Apollo Ghosts. Apollo Ghosts are playing their farewell show tonight in Vancouver at the Rickshaw. Now, here's a giveaway. The first person to tweet to @AusStranded, the handle for this show, gets a free Apollo Ghosts Landmark LP. So that handle again is @AusStranded. First person to tweet. I'll message you back and tell you how you can get that record. So thanks for tuning in. Let's play some Apollo Ghosts now. I hope you have a good time tonight if you get to the show. First person to tweet to @AusStranded gets a free Apollo Ghost Landmark record.
There are certain places where I often feel afraid. Parties always scare me. I forget people's names. I try to think of something that would stimulate the room, like dancing with a broom after a beer or two. And I cannot approach you because I have sweat upon my head. I have sweat upon my head. There are certain parties where you always feel alone. You cannot say a word without someone letting out a groan. People treat you like a book upon their plastic shelf. They keep it there for show, but they haven't actually read it. And I cannot approach them due to the fact that I have sand in the palm of my hand. I have sand. And I want to.
Yeah. I know that I haven't seen the life that's killing, life that's killing me.
Okay, thanks for listening. This has been Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. I hope you enjoyed the show. Some Apollo Ghosts there. They're playing tonight, their final ever show at the Rickshaw. You heard their tracks Palm of My Hand and then Landmark and Weekend Fantasy. Palm of My Hand was an older track from one of their earlier records. And the last two tracks there were from Landmark itself. And thanks to that lucky person who tweeted to receive the free Landmark album. Very lucky. So, I hope you enjoy this show. This show is, if you just tuned in, Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. Lots of information online. If you go to ozstrandedradio.com, you'll find all the podcasts, set lists, and a video we put up each week. And, of course, Twitter is ozstrandedradio. Up next, we have African Rhythms with David Love Jones. He is the proprietor of a record store here in Vancouver called Vinyl Records down on Hastings Street right at Canby. And a great selection of records down there. And David is a long-standing DJ here at the station. And I'm sure you're going to enjoy the next little bit of time on this station, CITR Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully another interview next week. I'm really enjoying playing for you lots of great interviews. In any event, I will be back. Bye for now. Enjoy.
Attention class, settle down. My name is Chris Connolly from the band Hot Panda, also known as your professor. Let's get one thing straight. If there's some of you that think this class is going to be a walk of the cake or a flop about in the park, you are sadly mistaken. Half of you will drop out. And the other half of you will wish that you were dead. If I could offer any advice to those of you still hell-bent on attempting to pass my class, it would simply be to keep your radio tuned to CITR 101.9 when you're in Vancouver.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
You know, there's nothing sexier than voting on a hot summer day. Be sure to vote in the 40th Provincial General Election, Tuesday, May 14th. For more information, go to elections.bc.ca. First I say no, I've got some plans for tonight, and then I stop and say,
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled. Would